Hey, this is Jim Sandville, host of the Royal Palmcast. I want to take just a minute of your time to let you know that this will be my final episode of the Royal Palmcast. It has been a pleasure talking with you every week for the past 2.5 years or so. Jerry Johnson and I are very happy to have had the opportunity to meet some very interesting people and be supported by such a great staff here at RPCRA. We have been downloaded, I'm proud to say, many thousands of times in, I just checked it, 36 countries and 496 cities around the world. We've hit almost every continent, still waiting for Australia to tune in, so please do that in the future. Jerry Johnson will be taking over, and you know him well, so it should be a very smooth transition for you. I will miss talking with you every week, but am moving on to a different position with a different organization, and I wish you all the best of luck. Home buyers and sellers expect a lot from their realtors, including common courtesies like punctuality, timely communications, and attention to detail. But what happens when clients are a little less considerate of their realtors? Today we speak with Jenny Moorhead and Jennifer DeRozier, two experienced brokers who've seen it all. Our conversation begins right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville, coming to you, as always, from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful and sunny, especially sunny today, Fort Myers, Florida. I am here to talk to you about real estate with my guest, who I'll introduce in just a moment. We talk about all aspects of real estate, typically from the perspective of the realtor and other real estate professionals, but also things that will be of great interest, we think, to home buyers, home sellers, and home dwellers. We're here today, as always, again, with Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Oh, hey, Jim. You know what? It is twice as sunny today. You know why?
Tell me why.
Well, because we have two awesome guests today.
Yeah, double the sun.
Twice.
Yeah, sure. There you
That's
go.
Right. The room is bright.
It is.
We don't need this light anymore.
Bright with a lot of enthusiasm.
And talent.
And talent and knowledge, especially knowledge about the real estate business. The topic I want to talk about today is going to be looking at real estate transactions kind of from the perspective of the realtor. In terms of what annoys them. That's not a fair word. I won't say annoys, but challenges can sometimes be challenging for agents to deal with. Things that buyers and sellers do or say or the way they act that maybe is not ideal from the perspective of the agent. And to do that, we have a couple of pros, a couple of experts, and I could not be happier to welcome them into the studio for the second show that we've done with them in recent weeks. First, I want to introduce you to Jenny Moorhead.
Hi, everyone. Hope you enjoy the show. Looking forward to having another great conversation.
Yeah, Jenny is with Cornerstone Coastal Realty in Fort Myers, Florida. Also, we have Jennifer DeRozier. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, hi, everybody.
Great to see you. You are with Rose Tree Realty in Cape Coral, soon to be Fort Myers, I hear, huh?
That's right. Very excited.
Yeah, that was news broken right here in the Royal Palmcast, so we are thrilled to share that with everybody. You're going to be moving, what, downtown Fort Myers, that area?
Just outside, yep.
Really? What street? Is it too soon to give those kind of details?
Yes. Let's not jinx it.
Let's not jinx it. Okay. All right. It'll be the big city. Actually, Cape Coral has a bigger population than Fort Myers, right?
By quite a lot.
Yeah. It's a huge, well, not I won't say huge, but it's a big city. Not only population-wise and growing, but area-wise, it's a very large area.
Mm-hmm.
You go from the north to the south, you get a long ride ahead of you sometimes.
My favorite way to explain Cape Coral is you can fit every city between my hometown and Boston inside just Cape Coral, and that's like 18 different cities in New England.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. But the streets are straighter here, aren't they?
Yeah.
Fewer hills, too, I find, than you see in New England. Enough about that. Let us talk about what buyers and sellers do that sometimes challenges real estate agents, realtors, and other real estate professionals. Let me jump into it. I'll kind of pose a question. I'll be the advocate for the bad cops, and you be the good cops, and you can respond. Let me just first ask, is it rude to switch realtors mid-transaction once you've started looking?
Well, mid-transaction for a contract, you really can't. But showing homes, I mean, if you're not happy, then you should at least have a conversation with your agent and say, you know what, this isn't working for me, and I'm going to move on. I think people just go silent, and then you worry about, well, if the new agent doesn't ask the question, did you have another realtor? And then you show the same house, and then you get into this procuring cause, and you just don't want to deal with that. So it's really important as an agent, if you have a client, the first question you should be asking them is, are you working with another realtor, or have you recently worked with another realtor? So you can find out the history.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen issues around this?
Yes.
That doesn't happen very often, though, right?
No. Most of the times, the agents will ask the right questions, but sometimes buyers just aren't always as forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Yeah, I would agree. I think asking is always paramount, whether you're doing open houses, which are more and more common now. I think it's easier to sell houses right now when you have an open. But when you have people coming in the door, they're not always going to advertise. So you should always ask. It's right on my sign-in sheet. I have a little, it's on my iPad, but that's one of the first questions is click this box if you have a realtor. And don't be predatory when you're asking either. I know that's a big word, but by that I mean a buyer is going to feel, a potential buyer who's interested in your listing maybe, can feel like, oh my gosh, if I say I have a realtor, they're not going to let me walk through. So I always try and sort of follow it up with like, make sure you tell me if you're working with someone, because that way I'll know who to talk to if you have any questions, or make it pleasant, you know.
Yeah. All right. So I'm a buyer and I want to look at a house. I'm just starting to think about it. I'm not pre-approved and don't even have a down payment saved up. My credit rating is super bad. Jennifer, show me a house. Is that fair to you?
Is it fair? No.
Would you do it? Do you show houses to people who are not pre-approved?
Well, I am not a hard stop person, but what I'll do is have that opening conversation. If they're like, oh my gosh, I want to go house hunting, I'm ready. I'm like, great, let's lay it all out. And I'm lucky that I have this little I can send it as a slideshow. If I'm having like a buyer interview in person, I print it out and put it in a binder, but it's like a buyer's guide. And so it kind of does the work for me because I'll go over it with them. And the first step is let's figure out your budget. I won't know what to show you until I know what you're going to be able to carry for a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way so that it's not harsh. And it helps get them to where they need to be. Do you already have someone you want to talk to? I have a great vendor list if you need some options to have those conversations. But let's not fall in love with a home that you find out you can't afford. And that way it gets them excited about doing the work rather than making it feel like an obstacle in their way. Because then they're just going to keep jumping and thinking that there's, you know, like, oh, someone's out there that's just going to let me sell this house or buy this house or whatever. No, it's just part of the process.
Jenny, do you get not yet qualified buyers coming to you saying, show me a house, please?
Sometimes some of the agents in my office do. Most of the agents in my office have been around for quite some time, so they have a bank of business and they're repeat customers. There's not a ton of new people that aren't experienced that don't know what their agent is expecting of them. So I think we see a little bit less of it in my office. But we have the same similar conversations. You know, if it's a client that they're not as, you know, it's been referred to them, but they may not know the background, it'd be, you know, have you spoken with the lender yet? You know, and we use literally the same thing. I would hate to show you a house you fall in love with that you can't afford.
Do you find that buyers ever pretend they're ready to buy, but they're really not?
I think I find that buyers don't necessarily know what they want. Like, they think they know what they want, but then they realize when they get out there that's really may not be exactly what they were looking for, or they had a preconceived misconception of how the process worked.
Do you think the current hot market has kind of forced buyers and both buyers and sellers to be more keen on what the expectations are of all parties in this transaction or not?
Yes and no. I think that I recently worked with someone who kind of jumped off the cliff into home ownership because the rental market is so impossible. And her rental home was being sold. So it was like, I have to fight in this horrific rental market or probably pay less a month and buy my own home. But then you have that whole urgency where it's extremely, just extraordinarily personal to the buyer, but not as personal to the seller who's selling an investment property and the title company where you're just one more file. And, you know, so then it becomes more like you have to sort of tamp down those expectations that what you're going through is valid, and I want to validate that and sort of honor that and help you through it, but also you have to understand just the volume of what this closer is working on, that they're not going to return your call that same hour, and that doesn't mean that anyone's dropping the ball.
How do you manage things when a buyer wants to see a property that's clearly outside their budget?
I mean, you have to be frank. If you're working with, like, a first-time buyer is usually the one that's usually going to shoot for the moon like that. And so for that, I'll kind of tell them, like, let's work backwards. Let me get a quick quote from a friend of mine that's a lender to show you what the monthly payment will be on that. And if you still want to take a look, I'll show you. But you've got to understand it's from what you're telling me, it's not going to really be in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But the caveat there that I'll share is I'm not adapting well to this crazy market. I'm a non-pushy realtor. So if someone tells me what their price point is and their comfort zone is, I'm not the realtor that's going to try and search outside of that. I will run searches just high enough outside that I feel I can negotiate it back down into their comfort zone. And twice in my career, I worked with people who I should have known were setting the cap for themselves and not because they were incapable of spending more. And I lost them because I wasn't showing them really high-end property because they said they wanted to stay lower. And then they were like, we love you. And they refer me out all the time and they comment my name when people ask for realtors. But they bought a house that someone else emailed them because it was like $200,000 above their cap. So, like, read your customers. I guess, is my tip. It's like, don't push something that's too expensive on someone that you know is an entry-level buyer, and you're going to cause them to, you know, spend outside of their means. But if you're working with people buying a second home and you know that they're fine, maybe don't hurt yourself.
Jenny, do you find that buyers are still experiencing sticker shock when they describe the house they want, 3-bedroom, 2-bath on water with a pool and this and that. And then you tell them, okay, because that doesn't exist in your
right.
in your price bracket. How do you manage that?
Well, I can only show them, here's what's available. Yeah. And just say, you know, this is what you're looking for. This is the price range fitting that criteria. So if we need to remove some of those items in your criteria to get to the price you want to be, then we can do that. And we can do it by process of elimination. Let's remove the water portion. That's going to save you some money for sure. Let's remove, you know, the age of the home. You said you wanted something that was only 5 years old. Well, maybe we go to 10 because maybe it's been updated. You know, those are all things that might help get in the place where they need to be. But a lot of it's just education and, you know, letting them know the market is tight. There's so many multiple offers that most things are going well over list price. And that's a problem, too, when you're financing. And I've never felt more badly for new buyers because it's really hard for someone who's trying to get a loan. I mean, we have some personal friends that were moving from New Jersey. He's putting 40% down. And we've gone through 5 offers over a list. He'll pay the difference, like all of that. But because there's a financing contingency, the seller's got cash offers that they won't take. So it's really very difficult.
Yeah. Well, how do you coach people in regards to bidding wars? Do you say, you shouldn't do it, you have to do it, or be prepared to do it?
Be prepared to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you just coach them as much as you can. And when they say how much, I can't tell you how much. Like, I don't know. There's no way for you to know. What are you comfortable with?
Are the majority of properties selling for above listing price?
most that I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer? Yeah.
I watched the stats, you know, when you first log in, and it's 100% of list price on average in our market for the last 6 months, except for one blip where it was 110% of list price, which is bonkers.
Yeah. If you're financing, boy, that's a challenge, right? Mm. Yeah, like Jenny says. How about if I'm a buyer who schedules a home tour of the same property six times and still doesn't make an offer? What should the realtor say to that buyer?
That is a tough one. I don't know that I've experienced that.
Four times, three times.
Well, yeah.
What's the limit?
I've had three times.
Yeah.
Does that get a little dicey?
In this market, it's a little tougher because you've only got like 2 days.
Yeah, you're not going
to. You don't really have time to get back there three times. But in the past, I've had people that have gone back two and three times for sure to just kind of make sure that something would fit and whatever.
Sure, yeah, bring the tape measure. Mm-hmm. How about buyers who want to make a lowball offer and potentially or almost certainly insult the seller, especially in this market?
Yeah, they do that a lot.
They do.
My out-of-town buyers tend to want to do that, and especially people where they in the past have gone directly to the seller and not worked with a buyer's agent. They seem to think that they can get a deal for themselves. So I'll send them all the education. I'll show them what things are selling for. I'll try and show them the comps, which is impossible because our market goes up like 10% every month. So what sold 2 months ago is definitely no longer relevant. And then I'll just tell them, I will submit what you ask me to at the end of the day. I am telling you, not only will this almost definitely lose you the house, but when there's other offers in the mix, the seller's going to remember.
They say, go ahead, submit my lowball offer?
Sometimes. Because it used to be, the mentality used to be like, well, all they can do is say no, and then we'll come back with a higher offer. And that used to work when there were not seven other offers on the table at the same time.
Mm. Jenny, how do you handle it? Do you see a lot of that lowball activity?
I don't see as much lowball, but I do see people still trying to go a little under list, figuring, well, the seller can come back and counter, or they'll call for best and final, and then I'll submit best and final. So I've tried to continue to educate the agents, to educate their buyers, that there's no rule that says you have to call for best and final. This is a tight market. You should be submitting your best offer no matter what.
Mm, gotcha. There's one question that I know, Jennifer, you have some passion around, and I want to save your answer for after the break, but I want you to think about it in the interim. What about working with more than one agent? So we'll tackle that after the break. We're talking again with Jenny Moorhead and Jennifer DeRozier about challenges that realtors sometimes experience in working with buyers and sellers. And we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Samantha Marker with Myla Faubuchon Realty, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Bill Risser, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast with Jim and Jerry. This place is amazing.
Hi, this is Julie Lepore with FERPTA Solutions, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Education, you need it, we've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast. Jim Sandville with Jerry Johnson.
Hello.
Hello. We have guests today, too. Two guests named Jennifer. One is Jenny Moorhead from Cornerstone Coastal Properties, as well as Jennifer DeRozier, who is the broker owner at Rose Tree Realty of Cape Coral, soon to be Fort Myers. Very exciting news there. We're talking about things that buyers and sellers sometimes do, and that present a challenge to the real estate professional and how they handle them. So I think it's interesting to hear things from their perspective, especially if you're listening as a buyer or a seller. Things to keep in mind as you progress through the transaction or even as you're just starting out. So before the break, I let Jennifer DeRozier know that we wanted to talk about buyers who work with more than one agent. You got any thoughts on that topic, Jennifer?
No. Yes.
unleash.
Don't do it.
I'm here to listen.
Oh my gosh. No, I cannot overstate this enough.
Now, this has happened to you, right?
This has happened to me, and it's dangerous. So, number one, all realtors have access to the same freaking MLS. So, like,
FMLS. Yeah.
We are all. That's exactly right.
Right.
I mean, the listings that you're going to be getting, and that's like a buyer education thing. That's what I lead with. Number one, after this experience, I've used to ease into that. Now it's like, hello, my name is Jennifer. I just want you to know that. And it's true. You're going to get the same searches from everybody, and so it comes down to who you click with in terms of personality, who you feel is going to best understand how to present the right offer, who you think is going to hear your needs and tailor the searches so it doesn't take you twice as long to get to the right house. And there's this huge fear because of the pressure of this market that they're going to miss something. And so they just go haywire and call everybody. And it puts us as professionals in really precarious situations, like, oh, I don't know, offering on the same house with two different realtors, which is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Why are people doing this?
They just don't know how things are done?
Well, I think that's maybe a part of it. I think there's this huge misconception of our industry, and I noticed this at a recent city council meeting that I attended, is the public really doesn't like us. They really don't.
Realtors.
And they, yes. And we were just the bad guys at this city council meeting.
Oh, in the context of this meeting. Yeah,
yes.
Gotcha.
But it was specifically about housing. And the conception is that we are predators that only care about making money. We are the reason that the housing market is so high. It's all this misinformation that is easily smoothed over if you just have a real conversation about it.
Yeah.
But I think having that kind of eye-opening experience to hear what people who are fighting to get fair housing as just citizens of our community, to know that that's what they perceive, it made me understand a little bit more how hard it is to earn the trust of a new buyer, especially a first-time buyer who's really just afraid they're not going to have somewhere to live.
Yeah, that's upsetting to hear. I'm not a realtor by design. The staff here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, we're not realtors. Jerry, you're not a realtor?
No, sir.
Never have been. I know firsthand, because I deal with them every day, the realtors here in Southwest Florida are doing good deeds for their community. Some of the best and nicest people I've ever met, who are honest, ethical, and work hard to achieve that reputation that they enjoy. My Lord, this is upsetting to hear, but...
We did have a conversation at this meeting, myself and another staff member who attended, and made sure they understood that the National Association of Realtors are actually the largest proponents of affordable, equitable housing,
right.
The right to housing for all in the entire country. We are the driving force in support of that. And locally, we strive to meet with officials and support ordinances that will bring housing to an affordable level. So,
yeah.
But I think that is part of why there's such a mistrust and why buyers tend to just ease away from the idea of putting all their eggs in one basket.
That's certainly not a universal situation, though. I mean, most people get that you are an earnest business people, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's move on then. How about when buyers want to bring their kids to an open house? How do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people are out showing property and they don't have a sitter for the kids, so they bring them. I just always try to have the conversation when we're going to the houses. Please remember, this is someone else's house. You know, we want to don't touch anything, don't climb on anything. You know, respect that this is someone else's house. And I've had times when kids have been running rampant and I'm trying to rally in the troops while mom and dad are looking. And there's a couple times I've had to say, Mom, we need to remove this situation because something's going to get broken.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no way to get around it. You just try and corral it. It's kind of like herding the cats. You just kind of got to do the best you can, but reinforce that this is someone else's home. How would you feel? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And most of them are really good, and they do try and keep everybody, you know, in good check.
Yeah. Yeah. As I think we're all parents here, and we know that kids can be unpredictable in their behavior at times. Fortunately, our kids are all angels, right? So
perfect.
So it's other kids. So it's right. Other kids. How about when they want to bring the family dog? Fido is going to live here, too. He's going to see the place.
Yeah, Fido's not coming in.
Not so much, huh?
No. We can keep him outside. You know, we don't know if people have allergies. We don't know, you know, the situation inside the home. So that's a much easier one to combat and just say, you know, I'm really sorry. I'll wait, you know, have someone wait out with him. But, you know, we can't take Fido in.
I know people who would. They'd say, oh, my dog's fine and she's going to be in my purse and it'll be no problem. Still no go, huh?
Yeah, I'm not a proponent of bringing pets in a showing.
Have you seen people try to do it?
Yes, and they've peed on the floor.
Ooh, that did not work well. Jennifer, have you experienced this?
I have. Ooh. I've had a few customers over my time that travel with their dogs. Mostly in purses. One, this dog was huge, but this tiny little woman like carried her dog with her everywhere she went. When she'd come to our office for meetings, she'd like tie the dog to the bench outside the door and stand in the doorway. I mean, I never saw her without her dog.
I feel bad for the dog in that situation.
It was a lot. Henry was his name.
Yeah. Mm. Jerry, have you ever brought Little Biscuit into a showing?
No.
No.
When I was looking for homes, I didn't. Biscuit wasn't around yet.
Biscuit's a good boy, though.
He's a good boy.
How about your former pet, Jimmy Dean, the pig?
Oh, yeah. I used to have a pot-bellied pig. No, what? He also would not be brought to houses, though.
That's funny.
Jimmy Dean's got to live there, too, Jerry.
Yeah, but he was a party pig, though. He was the hit of the show.
I'd heard that. He was the toast of Fort Myers.
Well, don't use the word toast around pig.
Please. Toast of the Caloosahatchee. That's what they call him. He was out there in the jet ski with you, right?
He did. I took him jet skiing.
That's great. That's great.
Now, how about when open house protocol is otherwise broken by people who are looking to buy a house? Have you seen examples where they just are not obeying the general etiquette rules, the buyers?
I've had people come through open houses and want to use the facilities. That's usually, I think that's probably the most common one.
Facilities, that's off limits, right?
Sometimes you can't avoid it. I always make a call to the homeowner. If it's vacant, my first comment is we need to make sure the water's on, first of all. But if someone's living in the home, it's, you know, I can stop at the local McDonald's on the way when we leave here. And I just try to deter it.
Yeah, yeah. So I did the same thing when I came in here for my job interview, Jerry. Stopped right, there's a McDonald's right over on Colonial. I said, oh, it wouldn't look good to Jerry when he hires me. So in any event, enough about McDonald's. How about people? We talked about this previously on another show you did with us about realtor punctuality. How about when buyers are not showing up on time or way early or way late?
That is a tough one. I usually tell my buyers if they're early, please, especially in an occupied home, you must wait in your car until I get there. There's nothing worse than having a super eager buyer go and knock on the door and have a conversation with the seller.
Not cool. Now, do you advise sellers, I'm sure, to not be home if at all possible during
a
showing?
Absolutely.
How can things go wrong if a seller is home?
Well, one of the biggest things is the buyer's not comfortable opening drawers and cabinets and closets and looking around, so they're going to feel rushed because they don't want to feel like they're invading in the seller's space. And that's what I always explain to sellers is you don't want them there. You want them to feel like they can look around and feel comfortable in the home, and you're not watching every step that they're making. I'll keep an eye on them. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Let them feel comfortable.
Have you seen sellers can sort of follow the buyers around from room to room?
Without a doubt. And we've also seen some listings, and I'm sure Jen's experienced this too, where the seller has literally made the showing restrictions. Unless you put in an offer, you can't even view the house.
Yes.
Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, who's writing an offer on a place they can't even get in to look at?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. All right. We talked about dogs. We talked about kids going to open houses and to showings. How about if you want to bring your entourage with you, your accountant, your mother-in-law, your cousin, your husband or wife, and all the kids? Do you establish some kind of rules around that for buyers before a showing?
It's so hard. It's such a fine line because you don't want to make the customer feel uncomfortable, but I try and share that, you know, we have a tight schedule. Our appointments are only for certain windows, and it's going to be very hard for them to get a good look or a good feel at the home without having to factor in all of the other people's opinions on top of it. Maybe bring them once you've chosen a house and they want to see it during the beginning of a home inspection or something, if you really want, like, your sister and brother-in-law to come and see the house.
What's the largest number of people you've had brought to a showing?
Oh, gosh. Six.
Yeah, I think I had six or seven. It's about as high as I've had.
It's a bit much. Yeah. How about when the buyer, rather, has negotiated items, wants to negotiate items that they've already signed off on a pre-inspection, for example? What do you tell them? No, we already decided that. I can't do it.
That can be really hard. I've had someone try and negotiate to have terms drastically altered, like financial terms drastically altered, and contributions in the last like 3 days of the contract period. And I always say, you know, we can try and have a conversation about anything, but you have to understand this is what you've committed to. We are far along in this process, and it's no one's obligated to do anything more now than they've already agreed to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so I'm a seller, and I want you to sell my house for me, and I'm a bit of a slob, however, and you call me and say, I've got a showing at 2, get out, please, if you can. I say, no problem. I leave, and the place is a mess. The bedroom is horrible. The toilet needs to be flushed. What's the nightmare scenario? And do sellers really act like that from time to time?
They do, and I had a client leave the toilet dirty when I went to go to a showing.
Really?
Yeah, and it was an agent of company. I always tell the seller about 15 minutes before the showing, and I get there, have them leave, and then I can peruse the house. And if I got to throw stuff under a bed, then I'm throwing stuff under a bed.
Now, another aspect for home sellers, they may have video cameras all over the house, surveillance cameras for security or or because they're nosy and want to watch what their family's doing when they're not home. How do you deal with that? Are the buyers ever uncomfortable? I think they're watching me right now. Can you put something in front of that camera? Is that ever an issue?
No, but I think now it's so common with Ring and all those, you know, security features. I think a few years ago when it was occasional, it would freak people out. I remember having to leave the house and go like around the corner in the driveway to discuss every item on a home inspection once because they were like, the cameras, you know, but now kind of everyone has something.
Yeah. How about a different kind of camera? I come in as a buyer on a home tour and I'm taking pictures of every detail of the home and I get videos and maybe the crew from HGTV is following me in and there's lights and microphone. And how do you deal with that when people who want to document things a little too much?
For me, as long as I'm not in it and we stay on schedule, I don't care.
Now, I'm sure the sellers from time to time may stipulate, I don't want anybody taking pictures in here.
Well, that they'd have to stipulate that, and then we'd have to put that in the showing instructions. But if they haven't stipulated, then you know they have to understand people are going to take pictures because they're not going to remember everything they've looked at. And although there's photos on MLS, people tend to take photos in a category that it helps them remember the house. Mm-hmm. So when they're looking through them, they can remember things categorically.
Yeah, when I bought my first house, it was kind of the onset of the age of digital cameras. So film was free, and I brought a digital camera to the showings, and some of the sellers caught wind of it, and they didn't like the idea of people taking pictures in their house. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an issue when you had to buy your own film, and of course, but I was taking all kinds of pictures just so I would remember, and I put them in a file. Okay, this is the one I looked at on the west side. And it was very helpful.
I think that's a listing agent educating a seller and explaining these are the things you should expect when you're showing your home. People are going to want to take photos. People are going to want to walk through. They're going to open doors. They're going to open drawers. You know, if you've got cameras, they may say things you don't like, and just be prepared. It's more education, I think.
Sure.
And it's the same thing with buyers. Understand the seller has cameras. If you don't want them to hear something, then don't talk.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to ask each of you before we close things out here, from the perspective of both the buyer and seller, the number one thing you wish buyers and sellers understood about the real estate transaction.
I have a life outside of real estate.
Respect the realtor.
Right. I don't always answer my phone at 11 o'clock at night.
Same answer for both buyers and sellers then. Yeah. Jen?
Yeah, I would say probably the same. Just don't be as abrasive if maybe I don't respond to your midnight text until 7:30 the next morning.
Right.
I'd prefer to not be challenged and yelled at. You know, I was recently out for a week.
Cocktail?
And I just couldn't quite get to my messages.
Now, so you could sum it up by saying, be a human being.
Right.
You know, we're people, you're
people.
Right. Let's respect each other. Yeah. Cool. All right. So that just about wraps things up here on the Royal Palmcast. I want to thank my guests, Jennifer DeRozier and Jenny Moorhead. And I'd like to let you, the listener, know where you can get in touch with each of them. Jennifer DeRozier, how do people get in touch with you? What's your website?
You can go to rosetreerealty.com, or you can give me a call, 239-281-4844.
4844. Jennifer DeRozier, DeRozier.
Nailed it.
At the end. Jennifer DeRozier. Jenny Moorhead, how do folks get in touch with you or get more information?
Our website is cornerstonecoastal.com. Or you can reach me on my cell at 239-671-2227.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's Jenny Moorhead with two O's, right?
And no E.
And no E. All right. Spell it for us. I don't dare.
M-O-O-R-H-E-A-D.
H-E-A-D. Okay. There we go. I may have made a mistake on a previous show.
All is forgiven.
Vague memory here. But I got both of your first names right here, right? Yeah. Okay. Jenny. All right. Cool. I want to thank another J-person here in the room, Jerry Johnson. A couple of J's there. Thanks,
yeah.
Jerry.
People do call me J-Man from time to time, but then I also call you J-Man.
I am the J-Man,
We're the J-Men, I guess, apparently.
Yes.
And the J-Girls.
Yes, we are. In the event, thank you for running the board today and being part of the show, as always.
Well, thank you.
It's been
an awesome
pleasure. Thank you. I also want to thank the staff here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association for all of their support and encouragement. We do appreciate that. And we appreciate especially our listeners. If you are out there in podcast land listening in on us today, we appreciate your being part of the conversation, at least on the listening end. So thank you for being there. And we would invite you to get in touch with us if you are so moved. You can do that by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. And again, my name is Jim Sandville. This is the Royal Palmcast. We'll look forward to talking with you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.